So maybe to begin, like Brother Kyle mentioned, we are covering the portion from the life study of Exodus that's talking about the ark of in the tabernacle. And so let's read these verses together. And this is Exodus 25, 10 to 22. So maybe we can alternate between brothers and sisters. Any brothers, we could start. So Exodus 25, 10, and then sisters, verse 11. And then we could alternate all the way to 22.
And they shall make an ark of acacia wood.
2.5 cubits shall be its length, and 1.5 cubits its width, and 1.5 cubits its height.
And you shall overlay it with pure gold, inside and outside you shall overlay it, and you shall make a rim of gold upon it all around.
Amen. And you shall cast 4 rings of gold for it, and put them on its 4 feet,
and 2 rings shall be on one side of it, and 2 rings on the other side of it.
Amen. And you shall make poles of acacia wood, and overlay them with gold.
Amen.
And you shall put the poles into the rings on the sides of the ark, to carry the ark with them.
Amen.
The poles shall be in the rings of the ark. They shall not be taken from it.
And you shall put into the ark the testimony which I shall give you.
Amen. And you shall make an expiation cover of pure gold. 2.5 cubits shall be its length, and 1.5 cubits its width.
And you shall make 2 cherubim of gold. Of beaten work you shall make them at the 2 ends of the expiation cover.
And make 1 cherub at one end, and 1 cherub at the other end. Of one piece with the expiation cover, you shall make the cherubim on its 2 ends.
And the cherubim shall spread over their wings over the cover, covering the expiation cover with their wings, with their faces toward one another. The faces of the cherubim shall be toward the expiation cover.
And you shall put the expiation cover upon the ark above it, and into the ark you shall put the testimony that I shall give you.
And there I will meet with you, and I will speak with you from above the expiation cover, from between the 2 cherubim which are upon the ark of the testimony, of everything which I will give you in the commandment to the children of Israel.
And you shall...
Oh, that's it. Amen. 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 So here we see in Exodus 25, maybe just to kind of give a little overview. You know, up to this point, I think we mentioned this earlier, that... you could say in Exodus, the first 24 chapters were really a story or exposition of how God met man's need, how he rescued the children of Israel, brought them out of slavery into the good land, how he defeated Satan, defeated Pharaoh and his armies, how he supplied his people with food and water. Even defeated the enemies, right, that were present before them. And all of this were really, you could say, in a sense, to meet man's need. But now we know we have a critical juncture here in Exodus. We're starting from chapter 25 and all the way to chapter 40. You have this wonderful, brilliant description of God's building. And this, you could say, is really what's on God's heart. God wants a dwelling place. He wants a building to be constructed, to built up on this earth. And today, that building is simply the church, right? So everything up to this point was for man's need, but now man is brought to a point where he can meet God's need. And so, you know, the speaking from the semi-annuals, and even you could say, found in the life studies, Brother Lee is very burdened that all the saints, when we come to these chapters in Exodus, that we don't just read them, you know, in a very fast way. I'm guilty as charged. When I was younger, when you come to Exodus like 25, there, you know, the pace, you know, it becomes very standstill, right? You don't have the action packed, you know, Pharaoh being destroyed, you know, the Red Sea covered. You don't have any of that. You just have this very detailed description of this building, this tabernacle. And when I was younger, you know, you just kind of glance through it. Oh, 2.5 cubits. Oh, okay, 3, 5. You know, acacia wood, okay, overlaid with gold. And we don't pay attention to the fine significance of this description. But in these messages, I think we were impressed that, you know, this is not just for our doctrinal understanding, but actually we could bring all these matters and consider them in the light of our experience. Have we experienced all these things? And so I was very touched in a very fresh way to come to this matter of the ark, right? The ark was the first furniture in the description of the tabernacle. And that's very significant because the ark is a type of Christ. And so that means that Christ within the church, he has the preeminence. He has the first place, right? And so when we come to this furniture, this ark, it's also very significant to consider the composition, right? And we saw from the verses, it's acacia wood, right? Overlaid with gold. And I was impressed in a fresh way to see that when we look at the ark, you know, sometimes when you look at furniture, maybe on the outside, it's a certain color. There's an overlay, right? But when you flip it around, let's say you have a lid, right? Outwardly, it's a certain color. When you flip it around, that color is not there anymore. Why? It's just kind of like a outward type of paint or whatever. But with the ark, its entirety, it's acacia wood overlaid with gold. And it's significant because when we see the person of Christ, he wasn't just something outwardly divine, but every aspect of that person was, you could say, the fine humanity mingled with his wonderful divinity, right? And we know that actually acacia wood is one of the hardest woods on the earth, and it signifies the strong human character that we saw with the Lord Jesus, right? Just as a example, you know, in the book of Mark, in the first chapter, you see the word immediately appear several times, right? The Lord immediately went to this place, healed the sick, went to another place immediately, went to cast out the demons. And it's significant because we see Mark as a picture of the slave Savior. You know, Jesus, he was not lazy, right? He immediately followed the Father's will from one place to another. And so that's just a small little window into the life and person of the Lord, right? As a human being, he was not lazy, right? He was strong and diligent, and that's just a picture of his character, right? And so that humanity then was mingled, right, with his divinity. And so here we have such a wonderful picture of the person of Christ, right? He is both divine and human, both at the same time, not a third element. And it's important to see that because eventually when we look at all the components of the tabernacle, it's made of the same exact material. Acacia wood overlaid with gold. Right, and we know that the tabernacle is actually a picture of the church. So for our experience, that means we also need to be the same, right? We need to enjoy the Lord. We need to experience the mingling. Our character needs to be uplifted so that eventually as a church, the enlargement of Christ, we can be exactly the same, right? Wood, acacia wood mingled with gold, right? And so that's what I was impressed with it in a fresh way. And then moving on, there's a lot. And I hope all the saints can bring out the significance of the rim, right? The holding power of the Lord. I was pressed that, you know, we wouldn't be here if it wasn't for the Lord, right? And how, who He is, again, He's both man and God. That person, that mingling of God and man, that's the keeping power of all the saints, even for the ones we see even in, for Peter, for John, for all the disciples. When Peter failed so many times, ultimately he was brought back to the Lord. And in what way? Well, if you look at John chapter 21, again, you see such a picture of who the personal Lord was, right? He was both man, you know, he cherished them. He said, oh, little children, do you not have anything to eat? You've been fishing the whole night. You have nothing to eat. And so he cherished them by welcoming them back to land and cooking them breakfast. What is that? That is just his humanity, right? He was loving them. And then eventually, he fed them, right? And then and you see the aspect of his divinity. And then restoring them. And then so that Peter could be sent out, right? So to be his disciples. And so the keeping power is of the Lord Jesus, right? The poles, the rings, all that has a lot of significance. But I want to move on to verses starting with 17. There we see the expiation cover, right? The lid of the ark. And during that time, there's a certain day, and that was called the Day of Expiation, where the blood of the sacrifices was sprinkled upon the lid. And this is of great significance because without that act, the priest could not come into the presence of God, right? But because of the blood that was sprinkled there, God accepted that sprinkling, accepted that blood in substitute for basically man's transgressions, right? Because without the shedding of the blood, you know, man could not be forgiven, and God could not be appeased. And what's significant about this sprinkling is that you have to see in verse 22. Jehovah says, and there I will meet with you.
Amen.
I was really impressed with this phrase, saints. There I will meet with you.
Amen.
You know, we have to realize that God, He wants to meet with us.
Amen.
He wants all of us to be brought into His presence.
Amen.
So that He can meet with us.
Amen.
And what happens in that meeting place? God speaks to us, right?
Amen.
God shines on us. God even infuses Himself into us, right?
Amen.
We see in the example of Moses, when he was brought to the presence of God, what came out was not just 10 commandments, but was the shining of his face, right?
Amen.
Something was imparted into him. And so when we're brought into the presence of God, we receive light, we receive His shining, we receive direction, we receive God Himself.
Amen.
But how can all of this happen? It's because there was the blood, right, that was sprinkled upon the ark of the tabernacle. And there upon the ark, you could even say, you could even also see God's glory signified by the cherubims, right? And so there's so much that's going on the ark, but we can experience this whenever we come back to the Lord. And this is something that I experienced and I appreciated in a fresh way. To see that, you know, the Lord, He is not just the propitiation sacrifice that came to die in our stead. He's not even just the one who accomplished redemption. But He's the propitiation place. And if you study the Greek, there are three different forms of the word haleskome, right? And it's all very significant. And I appreciated that Christ, He's the very place where we can meet with God. You know, I think we sang some songs this morning to see that, you know, the Lord, He is our standing, right? Actually, without the Lord and without the sprinkling of His blood, We have no right to come to him, to meet with God. But because of the blood that was sprinkled at the altar, and I kind of shared this in the beginning, you know, that lid once was completely gold. But because what the priest had to do, it was the color completely changed. It was covered in blood. It was basically, it was all red. And so when God now looks down, right, at man, what he sees is the blood, right? He doesn't see the law that was, you know, contained by the ark, because that law would have exposed man to the uttermost. There's no way man could meet the demands and the righteous requirements of God. But because of that sprinkling of the blood, God was appeased, right? So God can meet with man. And so this is really for our experience. Every single day, we should realize that this Christ, he's the one in our spirit. The blood that he shed is for our application. Whenever we turn back to the Lord, we should have the confidence that, yes, I could come to God. I could apply his blood, and I could return and meet with him, right? In the Holy of Holies, so that I can be infused with God. I can enjoy God. I can be saturated with God. What a wonderful provision.
Amen.
I just freshly appreciated just to see that without actually the lid of the ark, the effectiveness of the ark is made null. Without the lid of the ark, we have no way to come to God.
Amen.
And so you just consider that small little item within the scope of the entire tabernacle is full of meaning, right? It's full. It could be full of application, right? So we can surely consider these things and apply them in our daily living.
Amen.
So I'll just start it off, share that much, and hopefully all the saints, you know, in your considerations and your enjoyment this week, bring out all the different riches that we see from these verses. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. I'm very glad to come here to mingle with the English speaking saints.
Amen.
I used to be in the Chinese the fellowship. Mm-hmm. So in the past week, so I read this Chinese version. Okay. So, but it's good. I've heard, you know, Brother Shepherd has a very good fellowship. All right. So, but during my fellowship, I would need your help to match my Chinese, meaning to the English, sentence. Okay. So one of the things struck me when I read it is about the acacia wood. So the acacia wood says it's very strong character,
yeah.
And the human character. Character is very strong, and also. It has it's very holy standard, or what is it written in this study or Fiaozhun Chonggao in Chinese. So it's, what is the
high in standard.
Okay, so this is a so actually. I really appreciate this, what it says. Okay. So, I would say, our, I can just give some, testimony of myself. Okay. So, I was brought up in a traditional Chinese family, which is very emphasized on education. Okay, so there's some historical reason though, because my father could not go to a very good school. So because the reason he was a son of a landlord, like his family was kind of middle class in China. Like I would explain that, because of the Communist Party took power, those people are got trouble, because you know they whoever got rich got trouble, and to an extent their son or their daughter cannot go to good school. So my father graduated in a year, which that was like the heaviest part. Like the people literally just check your background. So if you grown up in a kind of rich or middle class company a family, you had no chance to go to good school. So my father, even though he worked hard, he had no chance to go to like the good school, like Princeton or just that. No way. So he was very upset. He got a job, and then he was very upset. So, when I was a child, okay, the China changed. So everybody now had a chance to go to good school. So my father taught me a lot. Okay. So I grew up in this kind of family, and then I spent a lot of time in learning, especially mathematics. Okay, especially math. Okay, so the way I want to say is this: this is our old man, but does that old man with achievement in education, does it give it the strong character in the humanity? Does it give the high standard? So the answer, in my experience, absolutely no. Okay, absolutely no. So it's very ironic. I exceeded in my class in every way in the grades. And I even exceeded in the city. I got, you know, there's a mathematics competition. I even exceeded. I even nationally, I went to the like high school, you know, math competition. I got something, so I even went to nationally, like to a big city, something like that. So, but on the other hand, my humanity was very poor. I was very fragile, and let alone saying high standard. Let alone saying high standard. Okay, so that's the true thing is. So the worldly education, without Jesus Christ, I can only see the problem is, it's a fragile character, and a very low standard. Because I was not seeking something high. I was just seeking, those very worldly things or whatever. So, and very narrow things. Okay. So, but the Lord loves me. Mm-hmm. You know, in His sovereignty, I was brought to the United States. And the time when I came to the United States in 1993 was my lowest point in my life. Because I was, I just got so tired from all the application, all the things, and then I got sick. And it's not a very big illness; it's a very small sick. It's enough to brought me down. Because I was very fragile. I was way below the average. So I was dismayed every day. I was like so worried, so dismayed. That was my terrible days in my life. Okay. And from that, I was brought to the church. Amen. From that, I was brought to Jesus Christ. Amen. I still remember the first time I went to a loving feast in Franklin Park. The very first hymn I heard was very joyful. Was very like a high standard. like to me, it's very, very, very noble, very joyful. I still remember the hymn, you know. Right? Jesus loved me, right? It's very joyful. It wiped my dismay away. So that's the first, that's the very, the memory I still had. I was joyful that night, okay? So later on my days was, I was dismayed and very, very worried during the day, during the week. And then when I came to the meetings, you know, it kind of lifted me up. Okay, so, then I was saved. But I have to say, it takes time for Lord to replace me. To replace my old man. Because my old man was there, 26 years. A lot of education, a lot of mass. So, but the Lord needs to impose Himself with His divine essence to me.
Amen.
So the way He changed me, you know, later I got married. From marriage, I learned a lot. From marriage, I really learned a lot. I mean, I learned how to take care of other people, you know, the other part. How to take care, how to feel the Lord where your other part is very different from you. And then I got kids. I got two daughters which were close together, and then another daughter, and then later another son. So all these things, the Lord just tried to impose, you know, to me for the building of the church.
Amen.
So now, until recently, I kind of sense, oh, Lord want to be a strong in character. So all these years, and also the high standard. The high standard is we need to come to the Lord every day. So we are not live our natural life. We live the life according to the Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Like I still remember the verse says, you know, for us, we are no longer live by ourselves, but we are live by the Jesus Christ.
Amen.
So we come to Him every day.
Amen.
Without Him, we cannot handle our daily stress.
Amen.
But with Him, we can do it.
Amen.
So, amen, Lord Jesus. Amen. So we thank the Lord.
Amen.
So the Lord loves us, not because of His God. He loves us, He's in us, and He will give us the great gift, which is our humanity, mingling with God, so we can be strong. And we also have a high standard.
Amen.
So may our church be blessed in this way.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I should first. I need to go pick up pizza. You know, I really worship the Lord speaking to us. Last week, I shared that. As a sense, how often you heard about the phrase tabernacle, you know, in our church life. I think most of us heard this term very, very often. Right? But how often we really have a chance to study it, learn it in a very detailed, thorough way, or experiential way, I think is we don't have many opportunities. Actually, I fellowship. Actually, I myself, last time I have a chance in a more systematic way, detailed way to learn this, it probably is 10 years ago already. When the ministry lead us to enter into the book of Hebrew, that a few chapters really. Talking about his tabernacle and all the furnitures in it. And I think we don't have many opportunities in our whole life. But the Lord now give us this opportunity. We don't want to waste it. The reason we are using this material for our morning revival, the burden is we would like to give all the saints some appetites.
Amen.
For the coming winter training will be on this topic. And this really touched the heart desire of the Lord. Mm-hmm. And if you really attend the meeting for Thanksgiving, you I really worship the Lord. I will read this general title to you, general subject of the Thanksgiving. It says, the church as the temple of God, the goal of God's eternal economy. And message one saying, going on with the Lord from the tabernacle church life to the temple church life. I don't know if you remember, when I saw this, I recall, in our first crystallization of Exodus, one of the message in the very beginning, maybe the first or second or third, the topic talking about the three stations of for fulfilling God's economy. What are the three stations? Do you remember? The first one is in the wilderness. Yeah. Okay, that's actually corresponding to what Shepherd just shared. It's the first 24th chapter of Exodus. And the second station is on the mountain. Right. That's corresponding to Exodus chapter 25 to 40. Right. But that's not the end. The end, the purpose, the Lord's purpose is bring all the children of Israel enter into the good land so they can build a temple. So not only the Lord being the tabernacle among God's children, he wanted to have a temple among God's children. And he said, what's the difference of tabernacle church life and the temple church life? I'll read. So the message, the Thanksgiving message, just encourages us to go on from, go on with the Lord from the tabernacle church life to the temple church life. And you will see the temple is an enlargement of the tabernacle, right? So, but the ark, the size, the ark is the same ark. In tabernacle is this ark.
Right.
In the temple is still this ark. So this ark signifies the individual Christ.
Amen.
He himself cannot change.
Right.
But our experience need to be changed. It actually need to be enlarged. And so there's a sentence, it's a banner. I'll read to you the second banner of this conference saying, our experience of Christ being renewed, deepened, stabilized, strengthened, intensified, and enlarged in order for us to enter into the reality of the body of Christ as the temple church life in a gradual, day by day, little by little, and brighter experience in the body until the day dawns and the morning star rises in our hearts. My feeling, what I really touched me is, you know, I don't know how many years we have been in the church life. I myself is over 20 years. And do we really satisfy with our condition with the Lord, our enjoyment with the Lord? You may be in the church life 1 year, 2 years, 5 years, but do we have this, you know, heart desire to go on with the Lord?
Mm-hmm.
You know, our experience of the Lord and the experience of the church life can continue to go on. It's not just we are just happy with whatever we have now. I think the Lord is calling us. We need to go deeper. We go richer, go higher, go stronger. Go more intensified in all our experience of the Lord as this His the dwelling place among us. So, and I think even the past conference by Brother Andrew, I think he has a strong burden. He used a six message and with an acronym is living.
Right.
The first living, the first L is living itself.
Right.
Living. So what is important is our living. The second one is I, right? This I is what?
Initiative.
Right. We need to take initiative. Yeah. And the V is vital group. Right. And then I is intensified. And N is new revival. Right. And G is goals. We need to set our goals. But why I use this acronym as living is actually what we want to experience Christ more is all depends on our living.
Amen.
So I think that today, this week's message talking about we need to bear the ark. We need to be one bearing the ark. And the ark cannot be bear by cattle. Or even we cannot just pull, right, with rope or whatever, pull the ark. We need to bear the ark on our shoulder. That means we need to be one with the ark. And how we can be one with the ark is we need to, our daily living, we need to live Christ. Without this living Christ, whatever we say, we study, there's no reality. And the Lord continues to speak to us, I think, is we really need to have the experience of the reality of the church life. And not only the way we can have the reality is through practicality. That's our everyday practice. I think we know a lot of that. Right. We need to spend time with the Lord. We need to read the Bible, right? We need to call on His name, and we need to have companions, and we need to enter into the ministry's message. These are all the ways help us to be live Christ in our daily living. And here, as I said earlier, said the message from Thanksgiving say that's a gradual process, but day by day. Little by little, and brighter. It's not we feel today we saw is we receive the aspiration. Then we say, oh Lord, we want to do this. We want to be one with you, and then it will achieve right away. It's day by day we need to again and again back to our daily enjoyment of the Lord. So I think as still encourage all the saints, we don't waste any opportunity the Lord gives to us. The Thanksgiving message, the winter training message, and everything the Lord put before us, we need to grab the opportunity.
I was trying to say the rib is actually the divine keeping power and the holding strength. And then here you actually say, we also are kept by this divine, this holding power and keeping strength. The express glory of the Lord's divinity can keep us from falling. If we leave Christ at home and at work, the very Christ whom we live will become the glory expressed through us. And this glory, this expression will become a rim that holds us and keeps us. So I was like, wow, Lord, you are actually the one that keeps us, that keeping us all the way through our church life. And then I was like, yesterday, YP meeting, we read about David, and then the Lord actually sent Abigail to prevent David from doing something bad, from killing Nabal. So I was like, Lord, it's like whenever we are not doing something that you really want us to do, you always send someone to kind of, you know, draw us back to you, go back to the Lord. And then it's just kind of, we just need to pray that the Lord will actually make our hearts soft so that whenever He sends someone to us, kind of draw us back to the church life, that we will be open to that thing and be willing to fellowship and really be one with Him.
Amen.
Actually, what Piwan just shared was what I want to share too. On day three's message, it talked about the dream of goal upon the ark. I think Shepherd shared about this. The ark was made of acacia wood overlaid with gold. But actually, there is rim around it, and it was made of pure gold. So when I saw this, I I was very impressed by, you know, the fact that, well, in the message it says that actually it signifies two things. One is that, you know, the ark is actually the expression, the glory of God. So you can see that the ark is made of acacia wood and gold, overlaid with gold, but actually the expression is purely gold. And then it also says that it also signifies the keeping power and the holding strength. So that, you know, the rim is actually a border, right? So it says that actually in some translations, it says that actually the rim is like a crown. So it actually limits us within a realm or within the boundary, that we will not go beyond that boundary. So it says that if we live out the Lord day by day, we actually will be kept within the realm of God, mm-hmm. of the Lord. So we will not go beyond. So just like you shared, you know, the example of David. Actually, he had many chances. He can, you know, he can kill Saul, but he know that he knows that actually Saul was the person the Lord anointed, right? So he dared not to go ahead and kill Saul. And I think the same thing, you know, is true in our daily life. Especially for us, I think that, you know, like so often, we are our own Lord. The ark is not actually, you know, using us. The ark is not upon us. We are our Lord, you know, we are the final decision maker. We do everything just according to our own will, our opinions, our natural being. But I think that here there are many examples, like Lord Jesus himself, and Paul, right, and Peter and John, so many people, you can see that because they respect God, because they honor God. So you can see that actually the ark is within them and the ark is upon them, so that the way they act, the way they live, we can see that there is a crown there. There is glory there. So because of that, they dare not do something by themselves. They actually respect God. So God is the final decision maker. So I think the same thing for us. Here in the last paragraph, it says that although our experience is very limited compared to Paul's, many of us can testify that we have been held and kept by the ring of the expressed glory of God. Our relatives and friends may not dare to speak to us about worldly things. This is an indication that upon us we have a golden ring, the ring of the ark of God's testimony. In our daily living, we all should have this ring upon us.
Amen. Amen. I also enjoy this point, that to become God's testimony, both the humanity and the divinity are essential. But naturally, in my mind, I always think, oh, I want to be God. I want to be divine. Actually, this is something go beyond the Lord's purpose. To fulfill God's purpose, he needs a God-man. He needs us to have a proper humanity and divinity. And in the Exodus, we see that the acacia wood was overlaid with the gold. That signifies that humanity is mingled with divinity. So, our humanity is really, really matters. Recently, I was reading a message. It talks about the life, the basic elements in this life. We know
We all know that we receive the new life. But in my experience, I seldom pay attention to what the elements in this life. And the Master talk about, in this life, we have death, we have resurrection, and we have God. And we also have a human. We also have a humanity. So, oh Lord Jesus, in my daily life, I really need to pay attention to the humanity. Live a proper daily living. Live a God-man living. With humanity, humanity mingled with divinity. Amen. Oh Lord Jesus.
Amen.
And we see in the New Testament, actually Brother Lee mentioned that all the books in the New Testament is talking about a living. In the gospel, in the four gospel books, we see a living of a man, the Lord Jesus. And in the rest of the books, we see a corporate living. A God-man, the apostles and the believers, they live their corporate living, God-man living. A living that is the humanity mingled with divinity.
Amen.
Oh, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
So, to me, I really needed to enjoy the Lord more.
Amen.
To enjoy the life daily.
Amen.
To enjoy Him as a proper God-man.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen. When I was reading day 3, I was so impressed because if I just read the Bible, I would just read it through and have nothing impact in my life.
Amen.
Seriously. Because I would just read, okay, it's good. It overlaid by the gold. And then there's a ring of gold upon it. That's it. Mm-hmm. I would never think it has to do with my living.
Mm-hmm.
Because, and I, when I read this, I really, you know, praise the Lord that all this, not just a doctrine. It's not just a, you know, black and white letter to us.
Amen.
It become, you can really appreciate and then praise to the Lord, say, Lord, thank you. You are that rim of gold that you will keep us, and you are the holding power.
Amen.
So that means, you know, in our daily life, it has to do with, you know, how we deal with our living.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, a lot of time, even now, when I experience God, I can surely say that whenever I don't experience God, if I don't have enjoyment with God, I was so open with out of my nature and then get exploded. You know, my husband just say one word and I would got exploded.
Sometimes I even don't have to say it.
Yes, that's true, that's true. What I'm saying is, only when you enjoy God, or, you know, living the realm of the Christ, you have totally different living. And that is our reality, seriously. Because if we don't experience this life, this divine life, is not going to do us any good. If we don't try to live out this life will have no impact in our living. And which is a shame, because this life does offer a lot to us. It all depends on whether we want to exercise or not. So, you know, when I read through this message 3, I was so impressed that brother able to, you know, bring this light to us, you know, and share the light to us that one verse can make an impact in your life. And if you really want to live by this verse, you can experience the differences in your life.
Amen.
And if we don't see the vision, how the light shine on us, then we never can live this life. So even this just a realm ago has great impact in our life.
Amen.
He said that, you know, even in here, he said that it doesn't mention the measure of the realm. It's like, how much you want to put the goal on? Which I was like, yes, that's true. God is so detailed. He said everything in detail, right? He's never like loose person or he wants exactly, it sounds like he doesn't trust us, but he wants exactly we do things according to what he say.
Amen.
It's not like he doesn't trust us, but it's just like he's such a, this is his character. He's just a very detailed person.
Amen.
But in here, he doesn't mention any measurement. And then the brother says, it's because you cannot measure. So what does that mean? That means if you live by this life, you will experience this cannot measure.
Amen.
Something is beyond your imagination. Something is, so it's, so this, I was very encouraged. Encouraged is, there's a lot offered by this divine life.
Amen.
And if we do a cooperate with this life, you can experience something cannot measure in your life.
Amen.
A lot of time we don't trust the Lord that much. We would rather trust ourselves, you know. That the knowledge we have, that we learn from the school, and then all the things our parents told us, or all the things that we learn from our friends, all that is more important than what God said in the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of time I think the time to prove to me that only what God say, it comes. A lot of time what your parents tell you, it will change, you know. And now I realize what I teach my children will be changed because it's a different generation. It doesn't apply to them anymore.
Amen.
But whatever God saying here in the Bible is only thing that will last eternity and then last forever.
Amen.
And it does bring us a reality. What is a reality? Reality is something you really can experience. It's really real in your life. It's not something we're talking. It's not something we just, you know, make out of ourselves. It is something according to what God say, and then we can experience. So I think message 3 is really impress us is we really had to get on the word by its the meaning of the spiritual meaning. It's not just a black and white letter. It's something that we can really experience by God.
Yeah.
Portion in day 6, it says, the morning nourishment says, Lord, you yourself are this very propitiatory cup. Without you, Lord, there is no place where God can meet with me or I can meet with him. Lord, without you as the propitiatory cup, God cannot meet with me or speak with me in glory. And the last portion says, may we all look to the Lord and pray that he will give us light concerning the propitiatory cover.
Amen.
And its significance for our spiritual experience. We should not be satisfied simply to interpret the types in Exodus in a doctrinal way. By the Lord's mercy, we need to see the significance of these types for our experience. Amen. On the one hand, the light confirms our experience of the Lord. On the other hand, it causes our experience of Christ to increase. Praise the Lord for the glorious, wonderful Christ.
Amen.
Who is the propitiatory cover? We do not have the utterance adequate to describe such a Christ, but we have seen him, we have experienced him, and we are enjoying him.
Amen.
May we continue to enjoy him.
Amen.
Amen.
You as reality.
Amen.
Oh Lord, save us from all doctrines.
Amen.
Oh, give us the experience we need.
Amen.
Oh Lord, we need you.
Amen.
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 Yes, Lord, we need you.
Amen.
We need you now, daily living Lord.
Amen.
Oh Lord, Jesus, shine yourself through us, Lord.
Amen.
Oh Lord Jesus, in everything we do, help us to remember you.
Amen.
Oh Lord Jesus, we love you.
Amen. Amen.
Lord, we love you.
Amen.
Lord, we thank you that you are our covering.
Amen.
Lord, we pray that you will continue to cover us day by day.
Amen.
Lord, as we seek your face, O Lord.
Amen.
Experience you as the God of glory.
Amen.
Lord, be merciful to all of us.
Amen.
Draw us daily unto you.
Amen.
Lord, that we will run after you.
Amen.
Lord, that we may experience you.
Amen.
Lord Jesus, we need you.
Amen.
We love you. Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Yes. We love you, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Lord, thank you that we can come to you every day.
Amen.
Lord, oh, save us all from the world.
Amen.
We know how much we need you.
Amen.
Lord Jesus.
Amen.
We turn ourselves to you.
Amen.
Lord, forget about things which are behind.
Amen.
Lord, we just give ourselves to you.
Amen.
We praise you.
Amen.
Yes,
thank you. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.